and welcome to today's episode of Tranquil Awakenings with me, Debbie Ison. On today's episode, I'm in conversation with Sam Lister. We will be talking about yoga, Reiki, crystals, nature, and various different aspects of well-being. We hope you enjoy today's episode. Thank you ever so much for coming and chatting with me today. So it's the first time I've met you, but I've heard lots of amazing things about you from colleagues and friends over time. And then it was actually Pete, my husband, you've started coming to some of his sound baths. And he's like, you've got to interview this lady for your podcast. She'll be brilliant. So thank you for being here. So would you like to introduce yourself?
Well, thank you for having me. It's so lovely to finally meet you. Like I said, I've been to a few of Pete's sound baths and they are so amazing. So it's lovely to meet his other half. I'm Sam Lister. I'm from Crystal Lakeview Wellbeing and Holistic Therapies. So I'm based near Ragby in Lincolnshire. Mm-hmm. The base is actually Ocean Walker Academy. So that's the UK's first purpose-built open water swimming facility.
Wow.
So it's a beautiful swimming lake. There's ancient woodland beyond. So we've got a beautiful, peaceful setting there. And then we have my treatment cabin. So I offer massages, Reiki, crystal healing, and then really carefully selected beauty treatments as well that are either aromatherapy based or they're vegan. So that's in the lakeside treatment cabin. And then on and around the water itself, we offer wellbeing activities. So we've got yoga, paddleboarding, kayaking, paddleboard yoga, mindfulness walk. So we have quite a wide variety of things going on there, but it's all aimed at well-being mm-hmm. and helping to people feel amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm trying to work out in my head the paddleboard yoga. I think that sounds so exciting. I think I'd be horrendous at it. I've got very poor balance and coordination, but I might have to come and have a go at that at some point.
I think you would surprise yourself. Paddleboard yoga is not as difficult as it sounds.
Okay.
So if people have seen pictures of paddleboard yoga on Instagram, it does kind of set it up as being quite difficult. But that is really not what it's like. That's the typical Instagram getting that aesthetic picture. So really in SUP yoga, what we do is take the balls out onto the water. We do some lovely breath work practices, connect into the natural environment, and we go through a lovely slow yoga practice, normally quite low to the board. So you could be lying down, kneeling, seated, mm-hmm. and then we just see where the class takes us. Sometimes we'll stand up, but obviously it depends on the participants. And it's just really focusing on that connection with nature and being outdoors and mm-hmm. that mindful aspect of really being in the moment.
Yep.
It is, of course, a great workout because obviously you're stabilizing yourself that whole time. But for me, I'm trying to introduce it to everybody more as an activity for your well-being. Mm-hmm. So we've had so many people take part who've not done yoga. They've not done paddleboarding. They've not done either thing. And the first thing they've ever done is paddleboard yoga. And it's amazing.
That sounds incredible. And I love the thought of, I'm a Piscean, I love water, anything to do with water. So being that close to water whilst doing such a sort of mindful activity with your body sounds amazing.
Yes.
And I've seen pictures of the venue. I haven't been there myself, but the lake looks incredible.
Yeah, it is so beautiful. We are just... I was going to say we're so lucky, but actually it was designed that way because it is a purpose-built swimming lake. Mm-hmm. So although it looks very natural, we've got islands and beautiful flowing curves and reeds, it was purpose-built for this purpose. So they really thought about how they wanted it to be, and I think it really shows it is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And when they dug the lake out, they found crystals.
Wow.
So that's why it's called the Crystal Lake, and hence why I'm called Crystal Lakeview Therapies.
Wonderful.
And I think when you go there, you just get this amazing feeling of calm and peace.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that is just to do with the environment you're in or because of those crystals that are there, I think is open to... interpretation.
Absolutely. I mean, our house is full of crystals and I really feel the energy from them. It makes such a difference to my well-being. And it's quite fascinating in our house because I will often buy a new crystal when I'm at one of the well-being shows. And it's because it resonates with me. I feel like I need it at this moment in time.
Yeah.
But Pete might pick it up and he might go, oh, that feels a bit strong. Or I don't like that energy because it's so personalised to our needs.
Yeah.
But I'd say actually Pete, more than me, picks up on the feeling of different crystals. So it makes so much sense if they're in that environment that it's going to be impacting different people's energies.
Absolutely. It is amazing. And we have so many different people who come through our doors, and whether that's people who are already spiritually minded and are already interacting with crystals and energy, or whether it's people who that's very new to or they've not interacted with that at all. But the overarching thing is that most people who come immediately say, wow, this place feels amazing. And mm-hmm. I just feel so good being in this space. So there's definitely more to it, isn't there?
Sounds a bit, I agree. And I know Pete came a little while ago, came on one of your mindful walks, and he said it was so relaxing, but also very refreshing and energizing just to take that time aside from day-to-day life to be in the present moment, to be immersed in the nature, to really use the senses. And then I think he felt very lucky afterwards because he got to see some of these crystals. And he just said it was a really magical place to be.
Oh, I love that. I'm so glad that he enjoyed it.
Yes.
And anybody who comes along and remotely hints that they're interested in crystals, you will be drawn in to being shown these crystals. Because I've always been a crystal fanatic. Mm-hmm. I got my first crystal when I was 7 and haven't stopped since. And anybody who wants to start talking to about crystals with me, that's it, I'm off. So
amazing.
Being able to then share crystals that are from where we're practicing there mm-hmm. is amazing. And to bring them into, for instance, I use them in our Reiki sessions or in guided meditation and crystal healing, which I do one-to-one or in groups. To be able to bring those crystals that are from right there into those sessions, I think is so unique.
Yeah.
And then we bring in crystals that are from all around the world, obviously, depending mm-hmm. what the client needs. But yeah, to have that base of the crystals that were actually right from the lake, I think is amazing.
It sounds really special.
Yeah.
So obviously you said you're very much about well-being, holistic healing, and it's clear that you do an awful lot of stuff. What got you into it all?
Yeah, well, going back to being a child, I can remember getting this magazine and I have no idea what it was, but in it there was a bit about chakras and you could cut out these coloured circles and it told you where to place them, lay down, place them on your body and what each one should be doing. And it gave you a bit of a visualisation of the spinning circles and things. And I think that was the thing that started me off on the journey. Mm-hmm. And then around the same time, me and mum started practicing yoga at home. And again, I've carried on with yoga and I'm now a yoga instructor. So it started really, really early mm-hmm. for me. But then going through school, it was always something I was interested in and did in my spare time. But actually at school, I was very science-based.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and did science A-levels.
Yep.
And while I was doing them, my boyfriend at the time's mum, she was a Reiki practitioner, a Reiki yeah. master. And she took me through my Reiki 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And doing science A-levels, I thought I was going to go into something sciencey and then maybe do therapies on the side.
Yes.
And it hadn't really occurred to me that that could be a proper career.
Mm-hmm.
But then seeing Carol having a business in this and how much she helped people
yeah,
and then doing the Reiki training, I was blown away by the energy that you could feel in it mm-hmm. and just how it all works. And that was sort of the moment when I was like, right, this is where I want to go
yeah.
with my career. Finished my A-levels and then started off on all the other training, which is still continuing now.
I'm a bit like that. I'm like a kid in a sweet shop. There's that many different types of training and courses and I just want to learn more and more to help people. So I'm always on several courses at once because I can't get enough. It's great, isn't it?
Same. Literally, it's just when And I love to help people. Mm. And I feel like knowledge is a bit of a superpower,
yeah,
to be able to help people. So, yeah, I just feel like the more that I can learn and be interested in different things, the more that I can share and help other people. So
amazing.
Yeah.
And I find it fascinating when I'm hearing your story, just at what young age these things were being introduced to you. So it was almost like it was being aligned for you, and this was always the path that you were going to be going on.
Yeah, definitely. It was funny, actually, because when I was thinking of coming on this podcast, and I was thinking, where did it start? Because obviously I was listening to your other conversations, and you're normally talking about, where did this all begin? And I thought, wow, where did it begin? And then, yeah, looking back, it's really interesting that it was that early.
Yep.
But then it kind of did go on a bit of a snaky path, a bit of a roller coaster through different things.
Yep.
But that's always been there, and it was clearly meant to be what I was doing.
It's such a young age to come to it, I think, isn't it? That even sort of at A-levels and that time you're getting attuned to Reiki, becoming aware of energy. A lot of people come to these things a lot later in life. So the fact that you were already at that age, was aware of this, because I wasn't. We'd had lots of spiritual things happen in the house. I was aware that I felt a bit different. I'd collected crystals as a child. But the school I went to is very much, you go to university and these are your options. And I knew I wanted to be in a caring profession. I wanted to help people.
Yeah.
But it was looking at, well, what options are available? You know, when you're going through the different universities and the different courses. And so I settled on teaching because I felt it was the closest thing available. Mm. There wasn't even a lot of things like counselling readily available at the time when I went to university. Not that I was aware of anyway.
Yeah.
So I just find it incredible that that world opened up to you at such an early stage.
I know. It's interesting now that I'm thinking about it, to be honest. And this morning I was thinking about Reiki, and it was when I was 18, which is 19 years ago.
Yeah.
So Reiki has been part of my life for over half of my life, which seems mind-blowing to
me
now.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I think when you become attuned to Reiki, you become aware of energy and well-being and spirituality, it completely changes your whole life. It completely changes your whole outlook on life, your whole perspective. So to have that from such a young age is such a gift.
Definitely. And I think for me, it was the catalyst of everything else then falling into place. Because until that point, it was, I'm going to go down this science route and go to university and have a proper job. yeah, but then following the Reiki attunements, it just seemed like everything actually slotted into place for me.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So now, obviously, how has all of this impacted your life? How does it impact you on a day-to-day basis?
Oh, wow. That's a really interesting question. How does it impact me on a day-to-day basis? Well, I have the job that I love. It doesn't feel like a job at all. And being able to help people feel amazing was the reason I wanted to go into this.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's helping to build confidence, whether that's helping people to relax or to find relief of some physical ailments as well. So being able to help people in that way, it's just so rewarding. And then personally at home, I'm a real outdoorsy person.
Mm-hmm.
I love finding that connection with nature and just being outside. And I just feel like everything's just aligned in the right way at the minute.
Which is great.
Isn't it?
And I think it's beautiful that you get to have a cabin in that space where you get to work with the clients, but also you are so close to nature. Because as we know, nature has such a profound benefit on health and well-being.
Yeah, exactly. And that is something that I'm always banging on about. I'm like, come on, just get outside, even just for a few minutes. Like, mm-hmm. you're going to feel the benefits of being outside in nature, breathing in the fresh air, and getting that grounding with the earth or through the water.
Mm-hmm.
The benefits are, they're proven by science.
Yeah.
And you can feel them. It's noticeable immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to work in that space, like you've just said, it is beautiful. And clients who have followed me from previous places, they really recognise that it's definitely where I'm meant to be. They've all come and said, yeah, this is very you, Sam.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
I always know that when I'm out in nature, though, I feel so much better. I think breathing in the fresh air, you feel the energy of the plants, the ground beneath you. And Pete was watching a documentary the other day on YouTube called Grounded, and it was all about grounding and how disconnected we often are from that because of the lifestyles we live now. So any opportunity to get into nature, I'd always say do it.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think I noticed the difference as well between summer and winter. I mean, obviously, we're recording now towards the end of February. I find this time of year really hard because I'm not very good at being in the cold for very long. But I do like being outdoors. But I'm not outdoors as much as I am the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And I think it does start to affect my mood and my well-being. And I always find this period of the year the trickiest to get through. As soon as it gets warmer and sunnier and I'm back in nature a lot more, I feel so much better.
Yeah, it is really interesting to sort of step back and watch how you feel throughout the year and how the pattern of the cycles and the weather and things affect how you feel. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if that sort of weather is maybe preventing you from interacting with nature as much as you would like to, yeah, it would be nice for you when you can get back out in the...
Yes. I probably just need to stop being such a wuss.
Just need to get wrapped up.
Get wrapped up a bit better.
Absolutely. But one of the things that I really like about where I am now is that obviously we've got this beautiful outdoor open space, but when the weather isn't so great, we've got this gorgeous glass-fronted wellness barn. So we can teach yoga in there, but you're looking straight out at the lake and the ancient woodland beyond. Mm-hmm. And it feels like you're interacting with that natural environment, but you are in the warmth. And then as soon as the weather gets nice, then we'll move the yoga classes outside and we'll so nice around the lake or underneath. We've got this big old oak tree by the water. Mm-hmm. Being in England, we have this, don't we, with the weather? It's just finding ways to still get that connection and get outside. Mm-hmm. And whether that is getting really wrapped up or knowing that when you get home, you're going to have a big warm hot chocolate and you've got that to sort of know that you're going to go back and warm up and be cozy and still get your fix of getting outdoors.
Absolutely. I think it's lovely that you do the yoga surrounded in nature because, I mean, yoga's amazing anyway. And I think I found the benefits of yoga, particularly during the pandemic when we were all locked away. I decided I was taking my anatomy and physiology level 3 because I thought I need to do this, but I was really struggling just reading the material. It's a bit dry, to be honest.
Yeah.
I thought, what else can I do to make me understand the process of the body more? So I thought, right, I'm going to start focusing on yoga. And for a while, I had this brilliant lady that came to my house, but then it all stopped, obviously, with the pandemic. Oh. And I really wanted to go and do a face-to-face course. Not because I ever wanted to teach yoga, but because I wanted to be immersed in it.
Yes.
But that wasn't available. So I ended up joining an online course. And I'm never going to use it in such a way to sort of practice or teach anybody. I wouldn't do that unless I'd had proper in-person extensive training. Mm-hmm. But I was amazed going through that process of that it was more than just moving your physical body. It shifted so much. Like sometimes I felt trauma being released through the different moves. Sometimes I found different muscles working that I didn't know. I found it was a really spiritual practice. I felt like it connected me more to my soul and my higher self. And
yes,
it was huge. And I didn't really have a clue because I think in our Western society, up until recently, a lot of people have just seen yoga as maybe something that's on at your gym to do some stretches. So
yeah.
Tell me a bit more about yoga.
Wow. Like you've said, it is a spiritual practice. Mm-hmm. So everybody's probably heard this being said a lot recently that yoga does mean union. So it's union between you and your higher self or between you and something more, if that's what you believe in. It's the union of the breath and the body, of the mind and the body. So it really is much deeper than it just being a physical practice. And I really like to focus on that in my classes. Mm-hmm. So although of course we're going to be doing the physical postures, the asana, but we do talk about the history of yoga, the spiritual sides. We always incorporate the pranayama, the breath work, the meditation. So I think it's really important to honor the heritage of yoga and the culture, where it's come from. So I'm really pleased to hear that that was your experience, that that actually just came through through your practice naturally for you.
Absolutely, because I was a bit confused. So years ago, when my children were little, I used to go to a parent and toddler group, and it was great. And then I started going to a Bible study class that was part of the church of one of the parent and toddler groups I went to. Because I wanted to learn more. I'm always fascinated about learning about other people's ideas and beliefs. But I was quite shocked one day we were having a chit chat, and one of the other ladies said in the group, "Oh, I'm going to my yoga." And this other lady that was in the group got quite angry about that and was like, "That is really bad. That's awful. If you have this belief system, you shouldn't be practicing yoga." And I was like, "What on earth is this about?" And I didn't understand at that point why this lady was so cross at this other lady for doing some exercise. I mean, I still don't understand it from the perspective of seeing it as anything being bad or difficult.
No.
I've always, and everyone I know that's practiced yoga, tends to be more connected to themselves, to nature, to healing themselves, to their well-being. If they have a religious belief, tends to be more connected to that, or their spiritual beliefs grow.
Yeah.
So I've only ever experienced positive benefits from yoga.
Yes, definitely. And like seeing the people that we have come to our yoga classes and how the yoga benefits them is amazing. Mm-hmm. And whether that's increasing their range of mobility, their flexibility, their strength, or whether it is finding that time to switch off and relax, and they're coming week after week and you can see that they're starting to be more calm and introduce techniques from the classes into their daily life, which they're finding is helping in a profound way, is amazing. And yeah, so I'm with you. I think it can only be a good thing.
Absolutely.
It is a good thing.
And I think anything that really is looking after yourself, looking after your well-being, is good because it improves your body, it improves your mental health, which then makes you a better version of yourself for everyone else around you and the rest of the community. So
yeah,
I'm a big advocate for well-being.
Definitely.
As you obviously in what you're doing.
It's that old adage, isn't it, of if your cup isn't full, you can't pour it into others.
Absolutely.
You've got to look after yourself to be able to then offer that energy to other people. Mm-hmm. So yeah. There was something I was going to say that has totally gone out of my head.
That happens to me often. And I think it's the older I get. I think it got worse after having children, to be honest. I think it was years of like sleep deprivation. But yeah, I'm getting worse as time goes on. I start a conversation or I start a sentence and then it just drifts off and I don't know where I was going with
it. It's funny, isn't it? Because like, there was something in my mind that was like, oh, this is really important and it'll be really interesting to say. And then within those few seconds, it just went,
it'll come back if it's meant to and we can add it in later on. I like it. It shows our conversations are nice and organic.
Exactly.
So obviously you said that you do lots of other things as well that we haven't spoken about yet. So what else are you going to tell us about?
So I guess we've not talked about therapies really. So in the treatment cabin, I offer a variety of massages. So massage therapy wise was sort of my first love after Reiki. Obviously in Reiki you're not always hands-on, you might have a light touch or you might be hands-off. So massage was my first real therapy where you're very hands-on, and I just love it. The difference that you can make to people is amazing, and I've trained in so many different techniques. Mm-hmm. And I've sort of done it now that if you're really interested in one of those techniques, you can book that technique or you can book a tailored treatment with me and I will just create something for you when you arrive, which I love doing. So you might come with a very specific physical problem or maybe something that's going on emotionally, and then we'll create something for you, and you can choose your aromatherapy oils, you can let me know the pressure you want, and I can work quite intuitively with it, which I really like. And maybe we're doing some Swedish massage, or maybe we're introducing hot stones. Maybe we're doing hands-free, lovely flowing movements with forearms. I just love it. I'm sure you can tell.
It's nice to see how passionate you are about what you do.
Yeah, I just think massage is so amazing. The benefits of it are so profound, and I just wish that it was recognised more, you know, generally.
Because people think, oh, it's maybe nice for a bit of a relaxation again, but actually there's so much more to it. I mean, it clears trauma from your cells, because as we know, we store traumas in our cellular energetics and everything. And so that massage is going to start to shift it.
Yeah.
We've got obviously all your lymphatic drainage, everything. So all the toxins up. Because we've got an environment that's full of lots of chemicals and not very nice things. Often our food is not very good for us. So all those toxins build up in our system, and the massage is a really good way of getting it moving, isn't it?
Shifting
and clearing.
Yeah, clearing out all of those toxins, all of that yuckiness. And you just feel so good afterwards. Mm-hmm. So Massage Me is one of my big loves. We've mentioned obviously that I do Reiki and bring in the crystals from both the lake and responsibly sourced crystals from around the world. And again, that's a very intuitive practice. So I do really like working with my intuition and creating those experiences that are bespoke to the person and what they need on that day. And then the same actually runs through into my beauty treatments. So I do aromatherapy facials, and I try to create a treatment that's not just about the skin.
Yes.
So although you're coming and you've probably got aims for your skin, goals for your skin, or how your skin's feeling at the time, and of course we're going to focus on them and your skin's going to leave feeling amazing. But at the same time, we're going to incorporate aromatherapy that's going to focus on your mental well-being, for instance, or massage techniques that's going to relieve tension that you've got in the neck and the back of the head because you've been sat at a computer for so long. So it's just about creating that experience for the individual.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many acupressure points and things in the face and the head as well, isn't there? So
it is.
That's going to be not only helping the skin area, but it's going to be helping the whole body.
This is something that, funnily enough, I was talking to with a client the other day about how there's so many different points in the face, the scalp and the ears that work the entire body. So it is not just a facial or a skincare treatment. It is going to benefit the entire body. And you can also tell by looking at somebody's face if there is something going on somewhere else. It is really interesting. And ears. So if the client's happy to, I incorporate ears into the treatment. And your ear is basically like the foot in reflexology. It's just like a little curled up person.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that. So by massaging the ears, you can really help to relax the entire body. I love that.
Which is amazing, isn't it? I know a little while ago, I was looking into some training, which I do intend to do at some point. But it was using all the acupressure points on the ears. And I was amazed just how many there are.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
It is amazing.
The body's amazing, isn't it? How it's all designed and how it's all connected.
Exactly. The connectedness and interlinking of everything, I just find amazing. And how not just physical areas of the body are connected, but how your emotions can show up in those different areas of the body. And any holding or trauma, it's really, really interesting.
Fascinating, isn't it? I mean, I know when I've had clients that have carried around a lot of burdens, obviously I predominantly do sort of the mental-based work and the energetic work. But once we've done that clearing, people can leave looking younger. They just, their face shapes can change sometimes because they've released tension. They're holding themselves differently, and they often report changes in how they're feeling within their body. Gosh, we're so interconnected. We're a complete system, aren't we?
Absolutely. Completely. Like we've just said, literally everything is connected. Yeah, it's just incredible. That's why I like having sort of the approach that we're using, in that we've got the treatments that are hands-on, sort of physically manipulating muscles or lymph or applying products to the skin, or we've got the energetic side using Reiki and crystals. Mm-hmm. And then we've got the physical movement where you can be out on the water, doing water sports or doing some yoga, like just having all those different avenues of a way to work at the same thing, basically, but from different angles. I think it is really, really cool.
It is. And I think different people need different types of therapy, different types of wellbeing practices, because we are all different. We've all had different experiences. We've got different bodies.
Yes.
Different belief systems. And I know as an individual, I need different things at different times in my life. So sometimes I think, right, I really need a massage. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it might be acupuncture. Sometimes it might be I need a reading. Sometimes it might be I just need to put some crystals on myself. Sometimes I might need to talk to somebody. But it's having all of those options available. And I think we're so lucky at this point in time that we live where we live, that these things are all becoming so much more known about.
Definitely. You wouldn't think of Lincolnshire as being a hub for well-being and holistic health, but actually there's a lot going on around here.
There is. And like you say, you wouldn't realise it. I think because we're so rural and we're so spread out, you don't always get to hear just how many other people are doing this and doing it well. So that's one of the reasons I love this podcast, because I get to meet so many amazing people that are making a difference.
Yeah, and that's why I love listening to this podcast, because you get to hear about all these different amazing therapists and different things that are going on. Yeah, it's awesome. And I think the more that we can spread awareness that these things are here, the better.
Absolutely. So going to your crystal-based work then, if somebody was listening and they said, right, I don't really know about crystals, but I would like to get some for myself, what would you recommend to them?
Oh, interesting. Okay. So I suppose there's a couple of ways that you could go about it if you're interested in getting your first crystal. What I would say is I like to choose my crystals in person. So obviously you can buy crystals online, but I really like to go and feel the energy myself. So that would probably be my first point, is finding somewhere that you can actually go and interact with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're choosing a crystal, get hands-on with it. If you can, tune into the crystal, see if you can notice anything. So you might be able to notice some vibration, some heat, some coolness. Or you might not feel anything. That's perfectly fine, especially in the beginning. You might not. It's a practice, so it will take time. So maybe you're going to choose the crystal on intuition and just what you're drawn to. Or maybe you're just going to choose it on what you think is the prettiest crystal. You're going to end up with the right thing. Yeah, get hands-on, try your best to find where these crystals are sourced from. Responsibly sourced is so important. Good crystals for sort of a starter kit. Amethyst is always a lovely crystal to get started with, very calming, helps to open you up to intuition. It can help sort of with a bit of a spiritual connection. So if you're wanting to begin to open up your intuition in a lovely, calm way, that can be a nice crystal to start with. Selenite is gorgeous. So that really clears and harmonizes all energy. So that can be a really nice crystal to get started with. I've got a big piece of it in my living room, because I feel like that's the place that most people are coming in and out of. It's the busiest area in our home. It's going to keep clearing that energy and keep it all feeling nice and calm and so I love them. The first crystal that I got, actually, though, was citrine. So I just wanted something that would help me feel a bit more energetic and a little bit more confident. So citrine was the first crystal that I got. So obviously, there's something for everybody. Every crystal does something. So you'll find one that resonates with you. Funnily enough, actually, we're going to start doing some crystal experiences.
Oh, lovely.
at Crystal Lake View Therapies. So we're going to do sort of half or full days where you can come and get hands-on with crystals. We'll give you a bit of information about how crystals work, how to choose crystals, where you might like to place them on your bodies, and we'll go through some meditations that you could use with your crystals. Because we have had a lot of people who've come and been so interested in these crystals that we found in the lake, but a lot of people don't know sort of what to do with them or how it all works. So that is actually something we're working on at the minute.
Fantastic. That sounds so good.
Keep your eyes peeled.
They're amazing crystals. Like I say, we've got all sorts of crystals around our house. And I think I'm intuitively guided to the ones that I need at the time. So if I'm going to a stall, I always choose at the wellbeing shows the people that I know source them ethically.
Yeah.
So there's no child labour or anything else horrible going on. But then I go to the stall and I sort of walk along. And obviously sometimes it's just because they're pretty, they catch my eye.
Yes.
But then I'll always hold them. So I tend to hold them in my right hand. And I get a feeling or a sensation. So sometimes it's a heat, sometimes it's a tingling.
Mm-hmm.
But what my body then does is it acts like a human pendulum. So if it's meant to work with me, I end up jolting forward.
Leading
if I'm not,
into
I end
it.
Up swinging back. So I know which ones I'm meant to be working with. And it's fascinating because then when I go home and when I look at what it is and what it means, it's always relevant to the situations I'm in, whether it's the physical things that are going on in my body or the mental and emotional or spiritual things.
Yeah.
And I find that absolutely fascinating.
It really is. It's amazing, isn't it? It's like your husband, Pete, he brings a bag of crystals, doesn't he, to his sound healing. And yeah, I pick a crystal out and it's always the one that I need at the time.
Yes.
It's just amazing how it works. And I've had people come to our guided meditation and crystal healing. So that's a group class that we do.
Yeah.
And we sort of talk about the crystals that were found in the lake. We do some breath work to calm and focus. And then I'll guide people on how to choose the crystals or how they might like to choose them. And then we do a guided meditation with the crystals on you. And I've had so many people who have come and said, I came for the meditation, wasn't really sure about the crystals or really interested that much. It was just the meditation that I thought I'm going to go to this for. And then afterwards they are just blown away by, oh my goodness, I actually felt something when I was choosing the crystal, or during the meditation I could feel that it was getting hotter and hotter and hotter.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
And I think it's then linking it back to the science as well, isn't it? So I think a lot of people say, well, how can crystals have energy, or what so they're just like, what do you mean? But then when you think about lots of different things that we have, like watches, quartz, we use quartz in lots of different things to conduct the energy. And so when you look into it, there's a lot of science involved a lot of the time.
Exactly. That's sort of the first thing that we actually touch on in our guided meditation and crystal healing, is the science behind it. Because I think that helps in a way to put people's minds at ease and to sort of know that there is science backing this up. And yeah, we talk about the quartz crystals in watches and radio transmitters and computers and how they vibrate at such a stable high frequency. That's why they're in your watch and keeping that time perfectly. So yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
See, I loved it the other day. I was at the wellbeing show last weekend and I bought a lovely crystal necklace for myself on the Saturday. And then I woke up on the Sunday morning and I just heard in my head, there's a piece of obsidian waiting for you. I was thinking, I didn't see any obsidian. And I was shown like a picture. It almost looked like a little spearhead. And I was like, I didn't see that. And I sort of dismissed it. And I had a little wander around as the day went on and I didn't spot anything. But then I was waiting for my talk. And the lady that was in previously in the talk room overran a little bit. And I just turned around to have a look out and there was a window behind me and there was this piece of obsidian. And I was like, that's it. That's what I know. So I've now got this beautiful piece of obsidian. But I think they choose you. It's amazing. And I love that.
Definitely. I truly believe that they choose you. The amount of times that I've gone to a show or something and thought, I think this is what I want to get today. And then you get to a stall and you're like, oh, no, that actually isn't what I need. And then you've been drawn to something else.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating.
It is. And I think I said, I've got all different types of crystals, but the crystals that always seem to want to work with me, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get something nice and colourful or something really pretty. I often end up coming back with black tourmaline, obsidian, labradorite, clear quartz. And it tends to be the same few, hematite, again and again. It's often those really dark crystals.
Interesting.
That I end up guessing. And I'm like, oh, that's not what I wanted, but it was obviously what I needed.
You obviously need that grounding and protection and, yeah.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense with sort of a lot of the work that I do. But
it does.
It's fascinating.
It really is. I went to a stage where every crystal that I got was blue. And I've got a funny thing about blue. Like, I love blue in the ocean and in the sky, but I don't really wear it. Uh-huh. I think randomly it's because I've got green eyes. I just don't feel like it goes right on me. But blue crystals for ages was the thing. And it was all through my throat chakra and I wasn't speaking my truth.
Yeah.
And I was holding back. as soon as that all started to clear, then the crystal choice started to change.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's really fascinating.
It is.
I always find it fascinating as well when I've had a crystal for a while and then it just vanishes. And you're like, I know I left it somewhere, or it just breaks. And I know that's the crystal saying, actually, it's done its job. And I've actually got one that I've buried in the garden. It did some really difficult work, some energetic work with me. And I think it felt a little bit traumatized. I talk like my crystals are little people. And I just got that it needed burying for a while. So I went to bury it in the garden. I know exactly where I've buried it. It's a good sized piece of garnet. It's like a little, like probably maybe tennis ball size.
Wow.
So it's decent. I've buried it in the garden and I've gone back to that spot and it's not there. And I know exactly where I buried it. So either somebody's come into my garden and dug it up, which I don't think would happen because nobody knows, or it's just not ready to come back yet or doesn't want to work with me anymore.
Yeah.
But I quite like that, because I like the idea that perhaps in like 200 years time or something, someone will be digging in their garden, whoever owns this piece of land, and they might just come across that.
They're going to find the garnet in the garden. I love it.
Oh. So we've not actually got that much longer left. So what else do you want to tell everyone about?
Oh, what do I want to tell everyone about? Well, we host retreat days at the lake. So if anybody's interested in sampling some of the things that we do, you can come along and try a few different things in one day.
Oh, that sounds nice.
It is beautiful. So at the moment we've got our Restore retreat. So we have a beautiful yoga practice to start the day, set your intentions for the day through your yoga practice. Then we have a cold water immersion. So if you want to take a dip in the lake, it is amazing, but there's absolutely no pressure. If you want to just cozy up in the barn on the sofa with a blanket and a book, it's all good. But I would highly recommend trying the cold water immersion. Gorgeous lunch. We do a mindful walk up to a spot overlooking the lake and a fire ceremony.
Oh, lovely.
And then we go back into the barn and finish with a gorgeous meditation with the crystal. So you get to sample like a little bit of everything.
Yep.
So it's a really nice way to come and do something for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you'll find something that you really enjoy doing too that you've not done before and that you want to incorporate into your sort of well-being toolkit.
That's brilliant. And I think actually having the whole days where you can say, I'm going to take this period of time out and I'm just going to have a me day is very, very important and very different. Because I know I get treatments fairly often. But quite often I think, I've got a couple of hours here. I will just have a massage in between clients, or I will just have whatever it is before I go on the school run.
Mm.
And it's not quite the same because I'm rushing beforehand, rushing afterwards.
Yes.
And I don't think I benefit as much. It's best than not doing it at all.
Yeah,
but if I had a full day, I think I would really, really enjoy that.
Yeah, definitely. It is really, I think it's important to do it now and then, isn't it? Like say, just to have that time and set aside this time, 10 till 4, that's mine. And I know that in that time, you know, I can just focus on being present and in that moment instead of thinking, oh, my brain scrambled because I've just been doing this, or I know I've got to do that afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I would highly recommend anybody taking that time out. And obviously we've got these retreat days that happen monthly, but we can create things for groups. So if you have a group of friends that you want to get together, or maybe you're a business owner and you've got a team that you want to do something different for. Maybe you've got a hemp party that you want something different for. And we've got all these activities there. We can create something perfect for you. Like you can do what you want in the space.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. You can be on the water, in the water, at the lakeside. Mm-hmm. You can be in the barn eating some fabulous food. So I just love that we can be so flexible and have this space that is really natural. You've got the lake, you've got the ancient woodland, you've got all the sort of beautiful grass and trees around, and just having that time to connect with nature, clear your mind and really be present there, I think is really special.
How lovely. Oh, I should definitely be looking into that. So before you go, have you got any final words of guidance or advice for our listeners?
Oh, so this is funny because obviously listening to your podcast, I've always thought, I wonder what I would say when I get to that point. I feel like I'm going to think of something really profound, but I haven't. I think my top things are make sure you breathe now and then. Take some time to have a good few deep breaths. And if you can go outside your door or get outside into the garden, even better. Take some deep breaths, feel your feet on the ground, and just have that moment of peace. Feel the earth beneath your feet, feel the breeze, the air on your skin, feel the breath moving in your body. And that is just something that I love to do. It's so simple, so quick, and it can make all the difference to your day.
I absolutely agree. I did that a little bit ago and I feel so much better for it. Just 2 minutes outside.
Yeah.
And I feel amazing. Yes. So thank you so much for being here and chatting to me today. It's been really nice to meet you.
You too. Thank you for having me.
And so thank you also to our listeners for listening today, and we shall speak to you again soon. Take care and bye-bye for now. If you enjoyed this podcast, please make sure you subscribe. If you would like to find out more about the therapies that we provide and the training we offer, please visit our website www.tranquil-awakenings.co.uk. You can also find us on social media.